Well, in the last part of our time together, we're going to consider Peter's miraculous Exodus recognition. Peter's miraculous Exodus recognition. As Mark 5-8 comes to a close, we see two extraordinary developments. Both of them flow out of Israel's blindness to Jesus' rescue. First, Jesus opens his rescue to the Gentiles. In the first part of Mark 5-8, we see him focusing on the redemption of Israel. Remember the repetition of all the 12s from earlier on. But as Israel becomes more and more blind, Jesus turns to the Gentiles instead. In chapter 7, having rejected the Pharisees and their traditions, Jesus goes into Gentile territory, to Tyre and Sidon. And he's approached by a Syrophoenician woman, a descendant of one of Israel's arch enemies from the Old Testament. But in spite of her birth, this woman shows extraordinary insight into Jesus' mission. She's the first person to really understand his work and engage in dialogue about it. And as a result, she receives a few crumbs of Jesus' new Exodus power. Now, he heals her demon-possessed daughter. Then as the story goes on, we find the Gentiles not just receiving crumbs, but being invited as full members into Jesus' new Exodus banquet. In chapter 8, verses 1 to 10, he does another amazing feeding miracle, this time for 4,000 people. And just as the feeding of the 5,000 showed us that Jesus could rescue Israel with the 12 baskets of leftovers, so the feeding of the 4,000 shows us that Jesus has come to save the whole world. This time there are 7 baskets of leftovers for the 7 days of creation. As Israel hardens her heart to Jesus' rescue, so he opens up his work to the nations. If Israel won't accept his new Exodus, then he will offer it to the Gentiles instead. In the second extraordinary development, Jesus also opens up the eyes of Peter. He opens his rescue to the Gentiles and he opens the eyes of Peter. Remember, we saw midway through chapter 8 that the disciples were blind to Jesus' rescue. He said to them, "Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear?" And yet just a few verses on, in the climax of the section, Peter confesses that Jesus is the Christ, the first person to use the title from Mark 1 verse 1 at the very beginning of the gospel. It's two extraordinary developments, isn't it? From a few crumbs for the Gentiles to full members of Jesus' banquet. And from total blindness for the disciples to Peter understanding that he's the Christ. How on earth is that possible? Well, both developments hinge on two extraordinary miracles. Two extraordinary miracles. The first comes in chapter 7, verse 31 to 37, when Jesus enables a deaf man to hear. And the second comes in chapter 8, 22 to 26, when he enables a blind man to see. We know they're important miracles because they're both longer than Jesus' other mighty works. Longer, not in terms of the number of verses that they take, but in terms of the time Jesus takes over them. Usually, he does his miracles with a single word or a single sentence. But now he takes his time. In the second miracle, he even takes 2 attempts before the blind man can see. They're also more physical than the rest of Jesus' miracles. So they both involve spitting and the laying on of hands. It suggests that Mark wants us to pay attention to these miracles and to listen to what Jesus does with them. The reason for that is that as well as being extraordinary miracles, they are also two new Exodus miracles. As well as being both long and physical, both miracles involve the senses. In one, Jesus heals a deaf man, and in the other, he enables a blind man to see. And at this point, we should be getting excited, because the senses have been the big issue in the section, haven't they? A people's inability to hear or inability to see who Jesus is and what he's come to do was the big problem we were left with at the end of the last section. But these actions, these miracles, give us a picture of Jesus' spiritual work. If he can open the eyes of the physically blind and the physically deaf, then perhaps he can open the eyes of the spiritually blind and the spiritually deaf. And this is confirmed for us when we remember that these miracles also remind us of God's new Exodus work in the Old Testament. In Isaiah chapter 35, another key new Exodus passage, it says that when God comes to do his new Exodus rescue, the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Right at the heart of God's new Exodus work, we find the eyes of the blind being opened and the ears of the deaf being unstopped. And therefore, when we read about these two miracles, we should be thinking of God's new Exodus, of the fact that Jesus' rescue doesn't just mean rescuing people from death, but rescuing them from their own inability to see who he is. He can save us not only from the grave, but also from our dull, deaf, sinful hearts. He can open the eyes of the blind and unstop the ears of the deaf. He can rescue us from our own spiritual blindness. And so at the end of the section, we get one extraordinary confession. Now, for most of chapter 8, the disciples had been totally blind to Jesus' identity. And yet only a few verses later, Peter gets it. "You are the Christ," he says. And it should be clear to us that what's happened to Peter is the same events for him spiritually as for the blind man physically. Just as Jesus healed the eyes of the blind man in Bethsaida, so he has opened Peter's spiritual eyes to see that he is the Christ, God's promised King, the Lord God himself, doing a new Exodus rescue. Peter is able to recognize who Jesus is because Jesus has opened his spiritual eyes, just as he opened the eyes of the physically blind at Bethsaida. As we close then, we're left with two questions to chew on. First, who do you say Jesus is? Over the course of the last few chapters, we've seen so much about Jesus' identity. He is the Lord doing his new Exodus work. That is what it means for him to be the Christ. So have you understood his identity? Do you believe that he is the Lord doing his new Exodus work? And will you call on him with faith to save you from death? Who do you say Jesus is? And secondly, have you asked him to open your eyes? We've seen that Jesus has come to rescue not just from the grave, but from our own inability to believe in him. And so will you ask him to open your blind eyes to see who he is? And if you have, then will you keep on asking him to show you more and more about his identity? As we move through Mark, will you call on him, Lord, keep opening my eyes to see who you are with more clarity, with more depth, with more wonder? And will you rely on him to save you, not just from the grave, but from your own spiritual blindness, and help you grasp the weight of his person more and more? Lord, will you open my eyes? Well, let's turn into our groups for a last time to discuss and then pray about these things together.